and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. You guys want a good path today? Be intentional in how you worship today. Give him everything you've got. Amen? Father, we just love you. We love you so much, and we're so excited to be here and get to on purpose worship you, on purpose hear your word and apply it to our lives and take it all in, God. And Father, just have your way in us today. Have your perfect way. We love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing your praises, God.
Come on, let's all stand up this morning.
We glorify you, Lord. We sing your praises, God.
Come on, let's just sing this out to the Lord. Great is your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remain. God of Jacob, you use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us, Lord. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people. Your children, remember your promise, O God. Oh, we see your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Yes, it is, Lord.
Your grace is enough. Your grace.
washing over us this morning, God. We receive it now. We receive it now. Wash over us, wash over us, wash over us. Our voices to the Lord. We receive your grace and mercy, oh God. We receive your love, oh God. We receive it now. Let's sing it out. Receive it now. We receive it now. We receive it now. It's over us. Wash over. proclaim my love for him. Come on, just declare this with all your heart this morning.
He has paid the highest price. And he has proven his great love for us. And we will praise him with our lives. And proclaim our love for him. Sound of prayer.
are faithful, oh Lord. You are loving, always there for me. Glory to glory, you never change your ways. Come on, last time, sing it out to the Lord. You are faithful, oh Lord. You are loving, always there for me. Glory to glory, you never change your ways. You are faithful. Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame. Yes, you did.
Sing that again.
Savior, worthy of honor and worthy of all of our praise, you overcame.
Jesus,
awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name.
Come on, seated above.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love. Destined to die, poured out for all mankind. In God's only perfect and spotless as one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory,
on, we will overcome. Satisfied, Jesus. Let us not be satisfied, Lord Jesus. We want more of you, God. We want more of you, God. Let our hearts not grow satisfied. Let our spirits not grow satisfied. God, we want more of you, God. Stir up a hunger for righteousness, God. Stir up a hunger for holiness, God. Stir up a hunger for all that you are, God. Stir us up, God. Stir us up, Lord. Stir us up, God. Stir us up, Jesus. God, stir us up, Lord. Oh, God, let us not just, God, stay silent in our spirits, but God, awaken us, God. Awaken us, Lord. Waking up the giants in us, Lord. Awaken the warrior within us, God. Awaken us, God. Awaken us, God. Awaken us for battle, Lord. Awaken us, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Jesus. I just got a vision this morning.
that God literally just wants to wake up like literally a sleeping giant, a spiritual sleeping giant within our hearts and within our spirits. God is raising up warriors, men and women alike, that are literally going to lead the charge of this generation, that's going to lead the charge for His kingdom in this darkened time when the things are getting darker, the world is growing slowly more dim. God is raising up an army, and He's wanting us to stir up the gifts of the Spirit. He's wanting us to stir up the passion within us, because He's longing for us to be the army that He is calling forth to lead this generation to His kingdom. And Father God, we stand up to the challenge. We stand up to the challenge, Lord, of the army of God that is beginning to rise up. God, that is beginning to call forth the worshipers, that is calling forth the intercessors. God, we say, God, we are yours. God, we are your kingdom. God, we are your people. God, we are your warriors. We are your giants in the land. Father God, we will go forth. God, we will not be afraid. God, we will be the army in the front line, Lord Jesus. And we ask, God, that you would equip us right now with the Spirit of God. Lord, it would rise up strong. It would be mighty. It would be powerful. The anointing of God would rest upon our shoulders. God, when the enemy sees us, God, they will see a place of blood, just like it was in Genesis, God, where they will go forth and they will begin to think that we are defeated. But God, they will rise up. They will come forth, and God, we will attack. God, and the enemy will be defeated. God, the enemy will be brought down low. God, you will be brought high. God, in the name of Jesus, we just bring forth, God, your Spirit. We bring forth your power. God, in this place, Jesus, we ask. God, we ask right now, Jesus, that we would not play religious games. We would not come to this place and, God, just go through religious motions. But, God, we pray right now, Father, that you would stir up the gifts of the Spirit. God, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of teaching. God, the gifts of pastoring. God, the gifts of worship. God, the gifts of intercession. God, would be released in this place. God, that this church would be a catalyst, God, to this generation. This church would be a catalyst to this city, Lord Jesus, that we don't do church as normal, but God, church is messed up the way that it was. And God, we begin to do church the way that you desire. God, we do church, God, the way that you called forth, God, in the name of Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, Lord, for you alone are worthy. For you alone are great. For you alone are mighty. You alone are glorious, Jesus. We worship you, God. We praise you, Holy Spirit. Let's just give the Lord great praise in this place. Father, we worship you. God, we worship you in this place. We praise you, God. We thank you this morning for deliverance. We thank you, God, for healing. God, we thank you, Jesus, that we're not the same. We worship you, Jesus. We lift up a voice of praise, Jesus, to you, God. Oh, Lord, we joined, God, with all of heaven. Just think, folks, God, just right now, all the millions of people that have passed on from this earth, through every generation, all of those people, all the saints that have known Jesus, right now in this moment, are literally lifting up their voices and declaring the glory of God. Right now, if you want to join with your loved ones, if you say, gosh, I miss my uncle, I miss my aunt, I miss my grandfather, I miss my parents, those that have known the Lord right now in this moment, you can connect with them and join with the saints, join with the angels, and begin to worship God. Right now, Father, we lift up your holy name, for you alone are glorious. You alone are powerful, God. You alone are mighty, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we hear the sounds of heaven right now. God, we come into that dimension of glory. We go to that dimension of praise and worship. Oh, Lord, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And I exalt thee. And I exalt thee. And I exalt thee, oh Lord, and I exalt thee, yes we do, and
and I exalt thee, and I exalt thee, oh Lord, and we exalt thee, we exalt thee.
You are constant in the trial and the change. This one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Oh. And on and on and on and on it goes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. This one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me.
Our jobs, we have family that isn't always going to be there for us, or, you know, things may happen. That's not where we put our trust. We put our trust in the Lord. And when we do that, the things that are failing us, it's not going to affect us the way that it would normally. our faith should be in God. And we need to remember that. When you have faith in the situation, when you have faith in yourself that you're going to take care of it, when you have faith in your job that it's always going to be there, it's going to fail you. So have faith in the only thing that matters and the only thing that's going to get you through the times that are hard, because there will be hard times. So put your faith in the right spot, and that's in God.
Father, we choose to focus on your love. We choose to focus on the one thing that will never fail. The one thing that will always be is your love, because that's what you are. That's who you are. You are love. And Lord, even though our circumstances and our situations in life sometimes look contrary to that, we choose to say, no, your love will never fail. We choose to look at the truth of the matter, and that is your love is penetrating our hearts in such a way that peace that passes under all understanding is flowing from the throne of grace. That truth that will make us free is available for us to embrace. Lord, we just come before you today with thanksgiving. We come before you today, Lord, with gratefulness. We just ask that you would continue to work in our hearts. Lord, when we leave this place, God, that it won't just happen just now, Lord, but Lord, as we lay down in bed at night tonight, Lord, let us have a transformation continue to take place. Let your love, Lord, continue to never fail us. Lord, we just ask that you would do your perfect work in our lives. We have tried so many times to do things ourselves and failed, but you never fail. We've tried to fix ourselves, Lord, and we have miserably failed, but you never fail. Yeah, your love never fails. Let's sing out one more time. Let's try to just do that with our voices. Can we do that?
Gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, who's made a way where there seemed to be no way. When the wall of separation looked like impossible to get through, Jesus made a way for man to be in right relationship with the God who created him. His love never fails, folks. When everything else looks different, just believe the truth. His love will never fail. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you take a moment and share that love with somebody. Shake their hand. hug their neck if you so will, and God bless you. Thank you, team. Bless you, brother. Yes. Oh, can you do that? Okay. Yeah. We're going to release the hounds. Okay.
You're such a friendly crowd. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you, honey. So I did want to get everyone's attention and make an announcement, though most of you may have already received some kind of notice already from me. But next Sunday, directly following the service, anyone that wishes to or already does serve in our nursery department, our children's department, and our greeters, we are having a potluck directly following service downstairs next Sunday and having a very short meeting. And so while you all are eating, we're going to be talking. So we do have some things we need to go over, some changes that are being made in all of these departments that are for the better, I believe. And then just so that everybody is on the same page. How many knows that if we're on the same page, we're going in the right direction toward Jesus? You know what I mean? And so we need to be, we all need to know what's going on, how it's going to happen, and so that we're all in unity. And that's the way that God wants the brethren to serve, right? So we're going to ask the children to come forward, and we're going to release them to go downstairs. And I just want to say to everyone, especially that serves in our children's department faithfully, we're so grateful for the way you love on our babies. We really are very grateful. So yes, amen. Let's give it up for them and the nursery workers. They just work so hard. Come here, babies. We're coming this way.
So we're really cut her hand bad. It's affecting her. Good morning, guys. So I'm going to ask one of the Sunday school teachers to come up because she has cut her hand really bad. Tara, would you come on up? Yes. And how many know you guys have faith and that your faith can bring healing through your prayers? We're not going to have you actually touch the sore, but she's having a hard time moving her hand, and her arm hurts. She cut it really, really deep. Ben, when she told me about it on Wednesday night, I started getting dizzy. So just like anytime I hear about severe cuts, it's like it just, yeah, wrong. But if you guys will gather around, and we're going to pray for Tara and just believe for a supernatural touch from heaven. You guys can actually can come around the back if you want to touch her or hold her hand. Not this, not the bad hand, but and just add your faith with my faith as we pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just now come before you, Lord, with combined faith, Lord. And I love the faith of little children, Lord, because it's pure. And so, Lord, I add my faith with theirs. And, Lord, we ask right now that you would do a supernatural healing in Tara's hand. Lord, we pray for just a recovery, God, that would be miraculous. God, that you would truly get the glory. We come against, Lord, any nerve damage. We come against, Lord, any muscle damage. And, Lord, we just release now your full healing work in Tara. And we thank you, Lord, that you do all things well. And Lord, we know that we can look forward to a great report from our sister. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you guys can head on out, and God bless you, and have a great morning. Praise the Lord. Now, for those of you who didn't make it, I know quite a few signed up, but I know not everybody can make it. But tonight, I don't think the snow is going to stop us because we're just across that way. I can shovel a path. So if you're brave enough to make it out, unless you guys who all came last week text me and say, Pastor, we're not coming. So then I'll just stay home and teach gay, but you know, more about the Bible. Last week, I started the class on walking through the Word, and this is the first time I have ever done it, so it was kind of like learning as I go, but I taught on how to use a web page that basically gives you a lot of power to be able to dive into the Word, to be able to understand, you know, Greek words, understand how to look up words when you're doing a concordance-type search, and I explain those things. And tonight I'm going to continue that process. So for anybody who really wants to know how to get into the Word of God, and not that you can't just open your Bible and read, that's not what I'm saying, but how many know that there's deeper things in the Word than just the surface? You know, you can go to on top of the ground and you can see sometimes, you know, treasures that are just sitting there. Maybe it's a rock or something that has been left by someone else. But a lot of times you dig deeper, you go deep enough, and you get to, you know, treasures, gold and stuff. And for some reason, God hides things. You know, it's the glory of a king to search them out, you know. But it's God's ability to hide them, and we can seek them out. So that's what I'm helping you do. And become all that God's called you to be in the way of a teacher and share with others. On March 12th, we're going to have a Wednesday night service up here instead of our cell groups and stuff. We're going to meet up here for a time of worship, prophetic worship. Mike Danforth is coming, and he's going to help lead us in a prophetic worship time. He's been doing this for over 15 years, and first started off on his own, and then actually started bringing it into a fellowship that he's part of, and now that's all they do is prophetic worship, and prophetic words come, and anointings come for healing, and all kinds of stuff. So I'm excited about that. On March 21st and 22nd, 3 weeks from last Friday, right? 2 days ago. Not this coming Friday, but the 21st, 22nd, we're going to be having our One Life Couples Weekend. I'm trying to get the name of it here. And I don't have on here, but I believe it's $25 per couple. Is that what it is? No? 40 per couple. See, gay's like, wrong. Okay. 40 per couple. Good thing I didn't say that and leave it. A what? Oh, it includes a book or that we hand out, a wonderful dinner and breakfast. Is it a dinner? That night, a dinner. So a dinner. See, I got to like get all this stuff straight. We need to get like the flyer done. So anyway, if you would like to come to that, you can register here. And I've got two going around. So if it gets stuck on one side, you can not worry about transferring it over. Okay, now let's see. What's that? Someone saying something? Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. I was, as I do, just kind of meditating on the Lord one morning, waking up, and this scripture ran through my heart, and I said, well, Lord, that really doesn't go along with what I've been sharing lately, but I'll take notice of what you said. And again, over the last few days, it just kept coming back to me. So this morning, I did a pretty extensive study on the verse. Most of you will recognize this verse. It's quoted quite a bit. I think a lot of times it might be even taken out of context. And so I want to actually read it in its full context, in its full chapter. It's a chapter of 23 verses, so hopefully everybody stay awake with me here. Romans 14, if you want to follow me, excuse me, in your Bible, Romans 14, starting at verse 1. Receive one who is weak in faith, but not disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eat despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Verse 9. For to this end Christ died and rose again and lived again. And rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, in verse 14, above my verse 14, it says the law of love is the identifier. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended by which your brother stumbles, or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Now that's a lot, I know. And the verse that was put on my heart was right at the pretty much the end of all that. But I didn't want to just quote the verse because you hear people quote it all the time. And I wanted us to be able to have it in its context as I communicate here. But the verse that really spoke out to me and was spoken to my heart was verse 17, where it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we are ones who are in the kingdom. The kingdom is inside of us. The kingdom is all around us. The kingdom is now. The kingdom isn't something that's coming in just the future, even though the kingdom is in the future, just as much as the kingdom's in the future, the kingdom's in the past. And why do I say it? Because the kingdom is God. The kingdom is God's presence. The kingdom is God's presence dwelling with us and inside of us. And it's easy to make the kingdom about what we do or just how we live, even though that part of the expression of the kingdom is true. The kingdom is not measured up in just how we live. And back then, the problem that they were having is that there were people who were vegetarians, and they would not eat meat. And for the sake of the kingdom, and for the sake of their relationship with Christ, they weren't eating meat. And then on the other hand, you had people on the other side who were eating meat. And they were saying, why don't you eat meat like us? Because meat's good. I think you gave kind of a funny thing that someone said. Rob was telling us last night that there was, his pastor was sharing how in heaven, all the vegetarians are going to get healed because there's a banquet feast that I'm sure there's meat at. So I hope all the gluten-free people are going to get healed, and sugar-free people are going to get healed. Do I get some amen? Cholesterol-watching people are going to get healed. Amen. And all other food maladies. There won't be food maladies in heaven. We'll be able to eat and enjoy the goodness of God. Amen. Food's really important, isn't it? You can see here in this whole chapter, it's pretty much about food, a couple things about drinking, but the whole point is it's about loving your brothers and your sisters. It's about not doing things that are going to cause others, especially those who are weak, to fall. It's about making sure that what we do and how we treat someone else is as if we were literally treating Jesus. I know I've had people say things to me before, and, you know, I got to go talk to this person, and I've thought this before, I need to go talk to this person. And all of a sudden, the Lord reminds me that if I deal with them incorrectly, I'm dealing with Jesus incorrectly. How would I treat Jesus when I'm going to talk to somebody? I think that's a thought we all need to think. And whether it's someone saved or unsaved, some people will say, well, if they're not saved, then, you know, but who are you to say they're not saved? Who are you to judge even that in their life? Well, they don't live like a, well, you don't know their heart. You don't know how they beat their chest maybe at night on their bed because of their condition that they're in and the lack of, I guess for lack of a better term, life that they would like to live being manifested. I digress. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to take a moment here and switch to my webpage, and I'm going to break this down a little bit because it starts to reveal some truths using the tools that you could learn about tonight if you come. This word, kingdom, it means dominion or reign. And when we think of a king and a kingdom, we do think of somebody reigning. But I believe that when we are in Christ, we come under his government. We come under his rulership. We come under his authority. And so you could say this, that Christ's authority, Christ's reign, God the Father's reign, God the Father's kingdom rule in our life is not about what is being eaten or about what's being drank. See, a lot of times we hear this word, and I notice I've done this before, is this word eating, and we think of it in the verb sense. We think of just sitting down and eating food, right? And so we tend to think of it just as an action. But this word eating here is really a noun word. And so this is talking about the process of what eating can do. Now, it's interesting that this Greek word that's used here is also the same word that's used for rust. And most of the time this word is used, it's having a negative connotation. Now, who would have thought that our eating or our enjoying ourselves could eat away at somebody else or could hurt somebody else? Now, it's hard for us to relate with eating and drinking just regular food as being bad. But how do we live? What is our conduct like? I was remembering, and I don't have the scripture verses, but when John the Baptist was called into his ministry, he was called in his ministry as a Nazarite, and he was called to not drink any wine and not eat certain foods. And it said that he ate locusts and wild honey. That was his diet. That just sounds... Well, honey sounds okay. The locust part sounds crunchy. That's to me. Gluten-free. Maybe it's a new way to get gluten-free. I don't know. I guess they're high in protein. Any locust eaters out there that can say, Pastor Mike, you're missing it. They're quite good. I know they have chocolate-covered grasshoppers in those Chinese places, and I think I chewed on a couple of ants one time and didn't taste like anything. Dirt. I think it tasted like dirt. I didn't get chocolate-covered ants, but for those of you who are being offended at that, forgive me. I don't mean it to be offensive. But he ate locusts and wild honey, and he had a message that was straight from heaven. He was preparing the people for the kingdom of God that was coming. He was preparing them for who? For Jesus Christ. He was getting their hearts ready. He had a baptism that people would be baptized in of repentance. And many people came to him. I mean, there are people who were walking around years after Jesus had already died and crucified and resurrected. And they were still walking around in a relationship with the baptism of John, but had Jesus accompany to it. They weren't even baptized in Christ yet. That's how powerful John's ministry was. But, he was like, said people, especially the Pharisees, say, he's got a demon. He's crazy. So here you have somebody that's over here. He's not eating. He's don't know what he's drinking. Probably water. Locusts and wild honey is his diet. And they have this label for him. You're bad. You've got a demon. Well, on the other side, Jesus would go and what? He would recline with tax collectors and sinners, and he would get in their lives and go into their homes, and he would eat their food, and he would spend time with them. And he was called, a wine bibber and a drunkard. He was called, you're out of line. So here you have two different spectrums. Is that right? Spectrums? Both representing the kingdom of God. Diametrically opposed to each other if you were to look at what each one did. So if you took John's life, you said, this is the kingdom of God. Look at John. I'm sure his disciples probably got used to honey and locusts, don't you think? Well, it's what he does, They all had little legs in their beards. I don't know, but sorry. Save them for later. I don't know. Anyway, the point being is that if you just looked at what he did, you could say, this is the kingdom of God, right? And you'd be wrong. It's not about your outward appearance, not what you eat. Now listen, we have to realize that it's not about how somebody, maybe lives their Christian life. Let's put it this way. Folks, there are people right now that have been wounded, have been hurt, they've been abused. Some of the stories people have told me, things that have happened to people in church, in the name of the Lord, have been horrendous. And for years, I would look at somebody, I'm just exposing my heart now right now, and they weren't going to church, and I would give them a certain label. I give them, they're just, either backslidden or, I would rank them as compared to somebody that went to church. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm here every Sunday. And twice on Wednesday. No, I'm just saying. I'm here a lot because I'm pretty close by here. Actually, I live here. I'm on the property. So
But the point being is that going to church is not the identification of a believer. It's not what makes you a child of God. And for those of you that, oh, praise God, I don't have to go anymore. Well, now, there's a scripture in Hebrews that says not to forsake the assembling together. And there's another scripture that says, if you're offended, woe is you, because it keeps you, I believe, from receiving everything you can receive. But I'm here to tell you that just because people aren't going to church because they've been hurt, we can't judge them. And it doesn't mean that God's not working in their life. And it doesn't mean that maybe they've got blessing and favor on their life. Because the kingdom of God is not just built up in what we do. It's built up in who He is. Praise God. This word righteousness is a word that means that there's a judgment or a verdict that's been passed down. And because it's that dike first part of the word of, I'm going to butcher this when I say it, but it's dikaiosone. Is the Greek word that is the main word for that. But it means that there's been a judgment. Now, a lot of people, we don't associate righteousness with judgment, do we? We associate with, oh, grace, I'm good, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm righteous. Well, folks, there's a judgment that's been passed on us. You know what that judgment is? That we are good in God's sight. That no matter what our condition is, even outwardly, in His righteousness, because folks, there's no one righteous, not one. So there's nothing that we can do in our own life that can make us righteous. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves good in God's sight, whether it's eating or drinking or eating locusts and wild honey, or whether hanging with sinners, or whether staying home or going to church, or you can probably put lots of labels out there that in the past we've said, well, this makes you a Christian, this doesn't make you a Christian. Now, there is a conduct of royalty, and I believe that when we live below those standards, what we end up doing is missing out on what we can truly be as believers. So I'm not saying, okay, let's just all lower our standards because we're all... No, that's not what this is talking about either. This is talking about looking at somebody else and not being able to see potentially who they are because of the filter that we place on them or the filter that we use to see them. Has anybody else done that? I mean, you just... I still fight it regularly. I see an appearance. I communicate with somebody, and maybe they start saying something immediately, filter, screen, classification, pigeonholing, whatever you want to call it, and I miss who they are because they become represented by some outward appearance, because they've been represented by something other than truly who they are. Because I know a lot of you through the years. And I know that sometimes people, we meet each other and we don't get the right impression all the time. And because of that impression, that moment, and maybe we're even being mean or short with somebody, or maybe we're cut somebody off in traffic, you know. You ever seen somebody else in church, they cut you off in traffic? Oh my goodness. You know, you were ready to call down fire from heaven for to consume them when that happened. You know, now they're in church. The point being is there's been a judicial verdict by God on us, and that verdict is we are righteous. We are made holy. Not because of anything we've done, but because of who He is. But guess what? Since it applies to you, folks, it applies to everyone who receives that grace. Whether they eat the same food you do or go to the same church you do, or let's say even going across denominational lines that don't make sense. Sometimes, well, that group, they don't have all the truth, and so they're walking in error, and so, you know, when you start thinking that somebody segregated themselves from God because they're living in lies, then what you're saying, you're walking in 100% truth now? Folks, there's none among us here on earth, I believe, that have 100% truth. And if you've got it, please come up and stand here and share it with us. Because if there's 100% truth, then there's 100% freedom available. And I believe that we're not walking in that kind of truth yet. But you have been judiciously approved by God. Wow. There's a verdict that's been made in heaven, and you are righteous. Keep that in mind. Don't let the devil lie to you. And don't let the devil lie to you about another brother or sister. And maybe you don't even look at them as a brother and sister because, again, of the way that they appear from their outside, or they appear from appearance. Appear from appearance? The way they look from appearance. That's the same thing. So sometimes you just got to quit while you're behind. Okay, peace. This word peace is the word irene, but I like what it means. It means to join or tie together into a wholeness. So listen, this is a divine work that's taking place. This is basically talking about righteousness, peace, and joy are something that we really have no, ability to say, I'm participated in that. I'm the reason why I get your righteousness, why I get your peace, why I get your joy. Because listen, this word literally means to tie together, to join together. God supernaturally, sovereignly takes his peace, his favor, his wholeness, and he attaches it to you. Not through anything you've done. We read it's through the Holy Ghost. It's through you saying, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, I can't do this on my own. He says, that's right. And now you're judicially approved by me. And guess what? I'm going to tie my peace into your life. I'm going to tie my favor into your life. I'm going to knit you with wholeness. Wow. But folks, we're not the only ones because we're in this building. And we're not the only ones because we all happen to be in churches today. There's people all over this valley, all over this world, who don't have the strength to face these doors. For whatever reason, the hurts of the past, maybe there's other reasons that are keeping them. They still have his peace knitted into them. They still have his righteous judicial grace and approval. Praise God. It's not about what we do. It's about what he's done. And what he's done is fully enough. And I believe because of what he's done, we can live a life differently than what we lived before. Okay, this word joy is a noun. Peace was a noun. Righteousness was a noun. They were an object. God's righteousness isn't just by something you do. It's literally an object. It's a substance. See, we've made righteousness a byproduct of actions. But it's a substance. It's literally an object that God has given us, placed in us, on us, through us. Same thing with his peace. It's a substance. It's not just, we don't just receive his peace just because we've said enough prayers and now the peace that passes all understanding guards our hearts and our minds. Yes, that principle works, but God has knitted his peace inside of us. It's available to us. Wow. Praise God. So listen to this. This is the word, joy is the word, it's where we get the word charis or grace. It's where we get the word favor. It's where we get the word, basically all of the things that lean towards his grace is this joy. And so if you think about it, the righteousness, peace, and joy of God, or grace of God, favor of God, is ours. And it's not because of what we've done. It's not because of what we've done. Folks, this is one of the toughest things that we fight as Christians. Isn't it? How often do you start thinking of what you've done and all of a sudden you're not measuring up? Especially if you start seeing somebody else who looks like they've done more. Starts looking like, well, they've achieved a higher level, so I've got to give them more credit, and that means I have less credit. That means I have less approval. That means I've got to do something to make up for this because I'm behind. You know, when you start thinking that way, you're now saying to God that his judgment verdict isn't enough. That God himself saying, you're righteous, isn't enough. It's saying, well, it's because I'll tell you what, when I start thinking that way, peace leaves me. I start worrying, I start fretting, I start thinking, oh man, now what do I need to do? God, forgive me. Oh, and it starts becoming like about me. When it should be about him now, because I've looked at somebody else, saw where they're at, and gone, oh man, I'm not like them. Or I haven't achieved what they've achieved. Or maybe I've done things that I know they haven't done, not knowing what they've done, of course, but doesn't matter. We start building this picture, imagination in our minds. We start leaning on our own understanding, and all of a sudden, peace flees. Joy flees. Righteousness is in the balance, because now, all of a sudden, we now have to do something to attain our favor with God when it's a free gift. It's not about how many locusts and how much honey we eat. Or it's not about how many people we've even won to Christ. Because Jesus, that's what he was about, seeking and saving that which was lost. And yes, that is part of the business that we're in. If you want to call anything that we do a business, we are in the operation of bringing those in darkness to light. But still, who you are in Christ is not about those things. It's not about the rules that you think are there being followed to a certain degree make you right and good in God's eyes. That's a done deal. And I have to tell myself that. I have to remind myself of that quite often because I have a lot of old ways in me. Old thinking. Old patterns, old habits. The kingdom of God, the rule and reign, the dominion that we walk in and live in has really nothing to do with us. Has everything to do with him. Now, does that mean that by us yielding to that kingdom and us submitting to that kingdom, that we're going to attain more? Yes. I mean, well, let me put it this way. If we receive his grace and his goodness and we don't walk in guilt and we receive his love, but we don't submit to the full work of the Holy Spirit, are we in a limitation? I believe we are. But it doesn't mean we're not righteous. It doesn't mean we don't have his peace. It doesn't mean that we don't have his joy. It just means we're not being fully I believe used and transformed is the way to be transformed. It's so hard to sit there and say on one end, you're fully accepted, you're fully covered, don't have to do a thing. And then to, on the other end, say, but do something. Through, because of his grace, do respond in the Holy Spirit. See, it's all in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit is what it says. In the Holy Ghost. In the holy breath of God that was breathed in us when we received Christ. You know how when you were in sin and you were in darkness and you asked Jesus into your heart or you started following him, however you created or walked into that new life, the life that was available to anybody who says yes to God, how you all of a sudden felt, oh, I feel like I can breathe again. I feel like that big weight's been taken off my chest. I feel like, wow, things are clear. All of a sudden, what's happened is just as in Adam, God's breath breathed in you. Now, the beauty of it is the Holy Spirit takes residence in us. And I believe doesn't leave. Some may think, well, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit doesn't leave. Unfortunately, there's believers who go places, do things. Holy Spirit never departs. But folks, Holy Spirit was the one waiting for you when you were in all that junk. Holy Spirit was the one convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come when you were all that junk. But I believe as God's children, we're to try to keep the Holy Spirit happy. And in the Holy Spirit, in the breath of God, as we receive that, we receive God's righteousness. We receive God's peace and we receive God's joy. So who are we to judge our neighbor? Who are we to judge another person's life? I know people say, well, you're supposed to judge their fruit. Well, there are times that you're to do that. But I believe more than not, we're not to judge. More than not, we're to say, you know what? If God's before you, how can anyone else be against you, including me? If God is on your side, why don't I start getting on your side? Can you just imagine yourself being around somebody else? And you know your heart, you know you're not perfect, but still, you know you're pursuing the Lord. You know you're seeking after him. You know you're hungry for what he has. You don't always achieve it. You don't always do things right, but there is a desire in you. Can you imagine being around somebody that judges you as if you're already condemned? Wow. As if you were already signed, sealed, and delivered over to Satan. But you know, when we write people off, what are we saying? When we pigeonhole people into certain categories and classes. You know, I know there's people, especially who are in the political spotlight, and I'm not going to name any names, who all of a sudden they can be involved in bills, they can be involved in, you know, whether it be about abortion or whether it be about marriage and all this stuff. And people pigeonhole them and they say, well, they're like the Antichrist. You know, I know that there have been doctors who were abortionists and they were murdered in the name of Christ, you know. Now, of course, those people were all messed up. But I'm saying, I've been with other people, though, that looked at some of those individuals with disdain to the place where grace was removed from them. We have to remember that we are not God. Thank the Lord. Right? All of you said amen, that thank the Lord that Pastor Mike's not God, because that's all it is. Boy, we're in trouble. No, we're not God. And who is really the one that I believe is reserved for judgment? Even Jesus, when he was here, was not in a judgment time. Now, granted, there's a time when he will judge. But when he was here, he wasn't here to judge. Grace goes a long ways. Love goes a long ways. And I'm not there yet, but I do know that Holy Spirit is helping me see with his eyes. And you know what? His eyes are not these eyes, folks. His ears are not necessarily these ears. How many of you can close your eyes and open your ears right now and can think of times when people were speaking little things in your head? Maybe the devil was speaking things in your head about somebody else, and that got in there, and all of a sudden an image or a representation of that individual was laid out before you, and because of that, you bought into who they were. But it wasn't really who they were. Listen, we have to see with supernatural eyes. That means when we see something that doesn't measure up, we don't immediately say, you know what, that person is that, or that and that. Maybe our kids, our parents, our family members, we see them a certain way, and all of a sudden we've got them figured out. And we treat them such. And let it not be. Listen to the very last part of this. And I'll finish with this, because I believe this is for us, but I believe also, where is it here? Oh, where'd it go? It says here, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Because he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Because he who does not eat from faith for what, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. I'm going to submit to you that we can look at ourselves and we can look at others, and we get to the place where we don't see even people in faith. We see them in the natural. We don't see them in the supernatural. And I'm believing that right there as well is approaching sin. Because we're not seeing them as God sees them. How does God see? Doesn't look at the outward appearance. Doesn't look at, you know, what we look like, what we wear. He looks at that heart. So that's what we need to learn to see, is their heart. No matter what their circumstances, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're involved with, we need to see their heart. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are the one that brings the results to your word. And Lord, we just open up our hearts, we open up our lives to receive, Lord, the truth that's been spoken here. Lord, if there's more, if there's other nuggets of gold, Lord, that are waiting for us, Holy Spirit, reveal them as we ponder these words, as we reread this again in the future. Just let truth explode off the page into our hearts. Father, we want to be free people. And we don't want to just be free people, Lord, so we can do whatever we want to do. Lord, we want to be free people so we can exhibit your love. So that we don't let lies stop us from going to places where there's fear and there's hesitation. Lord, we don't let the circumstances of the past keep us from seeing people in their future in you. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice, that he is the one who has made the way when there seemed to be no way. Because of that, we can stand in your righteousness. We can stand with fully woven in your peace. Lord, we can receive your grace and your joy, Lord, to where it's good. That life can be good no matter what the circumstances look like. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're always with us. That you're always with us. That you're, that the breath of God abides in us. And we ask that we would be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice in our life when it comes to seeing others, when it comes to living this life of faith. I bless your people right now in Jesus' name with eyes of faith, with supernatural sight, Lord, to see people beyond what they look like, to see them as you see them. Father, we ask right now in Jesus' name that if there's any way in me, in any of us, Lord, that is not seeing properly, not seeing truly, not seeing clearly, Lord, that you would open our eyes. Put the eye salve on, Lord, that you promised, Lord, that would was available in Revelation 3, so we might see clearly. We thank you for this time. I thank you for, Lord, everybody that's been here. Ask you to bless their life, Lord, so that they truly can be a blessing to others as they live in your kingdom, Lord, and in your reign. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Tonight, 6 o'clock, downstairs. You want to join us? Praise the Lord.